Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
And welcome to Community Talks, proudly brought to you by Plains Media. In today's episode, we'll be listening to Speaking for the Planet. Sit back and listen. Let's get started. Coming up is Year 9 to 11 Prepared Speeches. Anthony, Bella, Edison, Ethan, Hudson, Jess, Luis, Joanna, Kangwoo from St. Andrew's College, Tessa Kerr from St. Margaret's, Srishti Kaintura from Te Aratai, and Mehapreet Kaur from Avonside Girls.
I want you to imagine a table, a long wooden table, sunlit, warm, and overflowing with food. Fresh fruit, golden bread, clean water. Around this table sit families, friends, children. Everyone is fed, everyone is nourished, everyone belongs. Now imagine another table. This one is empty. The plates are bare, the chairs are silent. Around this table sit the 735 million people who go to bed hungry every single night. These two tables exist side by side in our world today, and the distance between them, our mission and kilometres, but decisions. Our decisions. This is why SDG 2, Zero Hunger, matters. It's not just a goal. It's a promise. Promise that no child should have to learn on an empty stomach. That no parent should have to choose between feeding one child and another. That no community should be left behind because of poverty. Hunger is not inevitable. It's a problem we created, and therefore a problem we can solve. And I learned this truth early. When I was a child, after sports, I would tell my mum I was starving. Every time, she would hand me food. Something warm, something filling, something I never questioned. One evening, driving home, I saw a man asking for food. He looked tired, hungry, and for the first time, it struck me. The food that I treated as a given, he may not taste for days. I remember wanting to give him mine, because I suddenly realised that hunger isn't just discomfort. It's an endless cycle that some people cannot escape. That moment stayed with me, taught me that having food is not a given, it's a privilege. And to amend the words from Spider-Man, with great privileges come great responsibility. Our theme, Seeing Change, A Feast for the Future, reminds us that every solution begins small, like a seed. Seed is ordinary, almost forgettable, but inside is the power to transform landscapes, feed families, and reshape futures. When we seed changes, we plant ideas, actions, and innovations that grow into something powerful. So what does seeding change look like? It looks like supporting sustainable farming, helping farmers use methods that protect soil, save water, and grow food without harming the planet. It looks like reducing food waste. This one-third of the food produced globally never gets eaten. Imagine how many empty tables could be filled if we valued every grain, every loaf, and every harvest. It looks like empowering communities with tools, education, and technologies. It looks like school gardens, where children learn to grow their own food, community fridges, and understanding where our food comes from. But most importantly, seeding change looks like us, you and me, ordinary people choosing to care. Because hunger isn't just about food. It's about dignity. It's about justice. It's about ensuring that everyone, no matter where they're born, has a chance to thrive. when we fight hunger, we aren't just filling stomachs. We are strengthening communities, improving health, and building peace. Zero hunger is the foundation on which every other SDG stands. And here's the truth. The future feast we dream of will not appear on its own. It must be nurtured. It must be grown. It must be protected. The seeds we plant today, our actions, our awareness, our compassion, will determine the world we sit down to tomorrow. So let us choose to plant bravely. Let us choose to plant generously. And let us choose to plant wisely. Because when we see change, we grow hope. When we see change, we grow opportunity. And when we see change, we grow future where every table is full. Future where hunger is not a headline, but a history lesson. A future where every person, everywhere, can wake up knowing that we're fed, valued, and seen. That is the feast we're working towards. That is the future we can create. And it begins with us, today. Thank you.
So, hi, my name's Tessa, and I'll be doing a speech today. How many people in the world do you think face hunger? 1 million? 10 million? 100 million? Well, actually, in 2023, around 733 million people faced hunger, which is around 1 in 11 in the world and 1 in 5 in Africa. That's right. Think about 5 of your closest friends. Every night, one of them will be sleeping on an empty stomach. To us living in New Zealand, the thought is almost unbelievable. How can so many people lack one of the simplest and most essential items to survive? Additionally, the global issue of food hunger has been steadily increasing since 2023 and is now the leading cause of death in the world. My speech will be about world hunger, and I'll be talking about the Sustainable Development Goals in SDG 2, Zero Hunger, Aiden's Life, and why environmental education matters. So everyone knows what zero hunger means, but not everyone knows what is actually needed to achieve it. SDG 2 aims to achieve food security, improve nutrition, and promote sustainable agriculture. Let's use a girl in South Sudan as an example. She needs to A, be able to regularly afford food, B, physically access the food, and C, have healthy and suitable food for her dietary needs. Let's think. In South Sudan, she needs 155% of her daily paycheck just to buy one plate of stew. And that's assuming she has a fair job. So it's really no reason, it's really no wonder why so many people live in poverty. The second tag under Zero Hunger is improve malnutrition, which sounds simple but is realistically difficult. Malnutrition is one of the biggest barriers to achieving SDG 2, and it just creates a cycle of malnourished children, no success, inability to help the country, a worsened economy, and it just stays the same undeveloped state it is in right now. Unless we step in. Which leads me to my last condition under SDG 2, which is called promoting sustainable agriculture. By teaching soil health and biodiversity, it helps farms profit even more while having lower input costs, leading to a better economy and breaking the cycle of poverty. But perhaps statistics alone don't show the reality about hunger, so I want to talk about a boy named Aiden. His story's a bit different. In November 2022, the worst drought in 40 years struck Somalia and created a countrywide hunger crisis. It was estimated that 500,000 of children under the age of 5 could die from malnutrition. Aiden, a 2-year-old, was one of them. For weeks, he ate sand to quell his hunger, leading to kwashika, a form of severe protein malnutrition. It was impossible for him to even crawl, and his skin and hair were peeling off. His parents do manual labour for low wages and struggles to find enough food, not just for him, but for his 5 brothers and sisters too. So as a last resort, his parents trekked 15 miles from their home to the local charity organisation. For context, Ireland and Scotland are only separated by 12 miles. Luckily, the organisation provided effective rehabilitation and Aiden is now in a stable state. But hundreds of children once faced and still do face the same conditions, just like Aiden. So, lastly, I want to talk about environmental education. Yes, you learn topics like climate change in places like social studies, but that really isn't enough. Even just one period every week to learn will be enough. That's only 0.5% of your time in a week. In contrast, we spend an average of 20% of our time on mobile phones. That's 40 times more. So if you really think about it, there really is no reason why we shouldn't spend time on environmental education. This speech took only around 4 minutes, and think of how much you've learned about zero hunger compared to half an hour of scrolling. So all in all, world hunger is an extremely significant issue in the world. This is because of the conditions under SDG 2, zero hunger, Aiden's true story, and environmental education. I've started my speech off by saying 733 million people in the world face hunger. This number could be zero if we all donated $5 each. So really, this goal isn't impossible, but within our grasp if we really start taking action today. Thanks.
So imagine this. You stand at a crossroad between hunger and hope. To your left sits a table overflowing with food, while to your right, millions are forced to walk past it starving. That is not a distant dystopia. That is our reality. Today, we stand under the theme, Seeding Change, a Feast for the Future, a call rooted in Sustainable Development Goal 2, Zero Hunger. It is a global promise to end hunger, achieve food security, and ensure access to safe, nutritious, and sustainable food for all by 2030. But right now, that promise feels fragile. Since 2015, hunger and food insecurity have been rising, with more than 700 million people worldwide still facing hunger today, driven by conflict, climate change, economic shocks like the COVID-19 pandemic, and deep inequality. We live in a world where food is produced in abundance, yet access is deeply unfair. A child should never have to learn what hunger feels like before they learn what hope feels like. So the question is no longer whether or not we have enough food. The question is whether our systems are fair enough to share it. Every empty plate in a world of abundance is not an accident. It is a failure of priorities. At the heart of this challenge is agriculture, how we grow, distribute, and value food. Industrial farming has increased yields, yes, but often at the cost of soil health, biodiversity, and long-term sustainability. If we take endlessly from the earth without restoring it, we are not building a future. We are draining it. That is why seeding change matters. Change begins in the soil. Through sustainable and regenerative agriculture, we can rebuild ecosystems instead of exhausting them. We can grow food in ways that heal the land rather than harm it. But transformation does not stop there. Food security programs strengthen communities and protect those most vulnerable. Innovation is reshaping food systems from climate-resilient crops to urban farming that brings production closer together. And locally, in Aotearoa, concepts like kaitiaki tanga and mahina kai remind us that food is not just survival. It is responsibility, cultural, and connection to the land. Education is powerful as well, because when people understand food systems, they waste less, value more, and act differently. Awareness turns into action, and action becomes change. And standing at the center of all of this is us. Young people are not just watching the future happen. We are shaping it. We are the generation that will decide whether sustainability becomes an action or remains another promise. We are the ones who can question broken systems, demand fairness, and refuse to accept a world where waste and hunger exist side by side. World Environment Day reminds us that climate action and food security are deeply connected. You cannot fix one without the other. To fix hunger, we must also repair our relationship with the planet. So what does a feast for the future look like? It is not excess, it is balance, it is justice, it is systems that nourish both the people and the earth. Seeding change means choosing regeneration over depletion. It means choosing equity over inequality. It means building a world where no one is left outside the table. Because hunger is not just a lack of food anymore, it is a lack of fairness. And that is something we can change. So whatever you do at the crossroads, don't hesitate too long. So support sustainable choices, whether that means supporting local food banks, reducing waste at home, or advocating for sustainable farming practices. Every action matters. Because change does not begin in governments alone. It also begins with us. So create your own path and keep moving forward. The future is all yours.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let me begin with a very simple question. What did you eat today? Maybe it was toast, cereal, fruit, or a warm prepared meal with care. Now, just think about this. While we enjoy our meals, there are millions of people around the world are asking a very different question. Will I eat today? This is the harsh reality of hunger. According to global reports, there are hundreds of millions of people around the world are still suffering from hunger. Not because the world cannot produce enough food, but a system who delivers food is deeply unequal. We are not facing food shortage. We are facing fairness shortage. The theme, Seeding Change, a Feast for the Future, reminds us that our future depends on what we plant today. Not just in our soil, but in our thinking. Because hunger is not just about empty stomach. It's about poverty, climate change, conflict, and injustice. Now, let us look at what our experts and leaders have taught us. Amartya Sen, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, has proved something powerful. Famines do not happen because there is no food. They happen because people cannot access food. This means hunger is not just a scientific problem. It's a social problem. Similarly, Raj Patel, a food researcher, argues that the global food system is controlled by a powerful corporation, leaving small farmers and poor communities behind. And Wangari Maathai showed us that restoring environment by planting trees and empowering communities can also fight for hunger and poverty at the same time. So, what is the real issue? So the issue is that our food system is fragile, unequal, and unsustainable. Farmers struggle while food prices rise. Millions of tons of food is wasted. Healthy food is often too expensive. Climate change destroys crops. This system is not broken by accident. It is broken by design. If human can design it, human can redesign it. So, how we can move from hunger to hope? Let me share the four key solutions. Number one, supporting small farmers, the backbone of the food system. Did you know that small farmers produce about 1/3 of the world's population food and yet among the poorest? By giving them fair prices, better tools, and access to market, we can increase food production and reduce poverty at the same time. Number two, investing in innovations and smart solutions. Innovation is not just about technology, it's about creativity. Scientists and researchers are developing climate-resistant crops, vertical farming in cities, plant-based and alternative proteins. These innovations can make our food more sustainable and accessible. Number three, build local food system. Instead of relying only on global supply chains, communities can grow their own food, urban gardens, and local market can create fresh and affordable food, stronger community, and greater independence. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, the concept of Mahinga Kai reminds us live in the land with harmony and respect natural resources. Number four, change our mindset about food. This is the most important key solution. We must stop seeing food as something we consume and start seeing as something we respect. This means wasting less food, eating responsibly, valuing effort behind every meal. Because every piece of bread, grain of rice represent time, labor, and life. Now, let me ask you, what kind of future do you want? A future where food is wasted and everyone go hungry, or a future where everyone have a seat on a table? Today, the seed of a change is already in our hand. If we plant them with care, grow them with hope, and water them with action, we can create a future where hunger is not a reality, but a memory. From hunger to hope, that is a journey we must take, and it starts with us. Thank you.
It has been a year since it all began. You were once living in a paradise, a sustainable community. Children would run around without a worry.
families would gather and host feasts, everyone with a smile on their lips. But then the rain stops. The crops failed. Then the famine came. Suddenly, the paradise you once knew became a graveyard. Thousands of people in your village died from hunger, thirst, or suicide. In these thousands of dead is your beloved family and friends. All of them grew hungry with nothing more than a loaf of bread to eat each day. This is not a story from every country. However, it is the story of millions of people across over 50 nations who face famine and drought every single day. Famine is tearing families apart. Drought is thirsting entire nations. Children are starving while the world scrolls past their suffering. How much longer will we stand by and watch millions fight for a single meal? As We Are the World by USA for Africa reminds us, there comes a time when we heed a certain call. That call is now. Not tomorrow, but now. Now I have a plan. A plan to fight hunger and save lives. First, starting with us, we should reduce food waste. Every year, approximately 1/3 of all food produced is thrown away purely just because we don't value it. Just imagine all that wasted food being used to feed kids who don't deserve to die. Stop wasting food. We should take only what we need and donate any food which is left over from our cooking. Every bit of food not wasted leads to another living being saved. Secondly, let's build reliable water sources in regions hit with heavy drought. When there is a drought, there is famine. We need to drill wells so that communities can access underground water. We need to install rainwater harvesting systems to collect and store rainwater ready for drier seasons, as well as teaching drought-resistant farming so that farmers can grow crops that survive the heat. When water is restored, crops will have the opportunity to grow and feed families. Thirdly, support organizations fighting hunger. There are so many organizations out there right now: UNICEF, the Food Program, Action Against Hunger, and they are all saving lives every single day. But they cannot do it alone. We need to support them, not just with money, but with awareness. I am not a president, but we are all people. And up until now, people all over the world have been dying from famine and drought. You each have a choice. You can all go home and ignore if you don't wish to make a difference, or you can join me and fight for a cause which will save innocent lives. There once was a time when humanity didn't need to starve. In this world, I no longer believe that exists. We must restore this and know that when suffering starts, we must rise. And when we rise, suffering will end. My friends, there are people dying. It is time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. Let us rise against hunger and drought. Let's fight the battle alongside these victims who cannot fight it alone. Because today, we rise. Today, we fight. Today, we end hunger.
I want everyone to close your eyes and imagine you're alone in a desert. Walking endlessly, the hazy horizon stretches out before you. Just as far as it was yesterday, and yesterday's yesterday, and all the yesterdays that have come before then. This is the reality for the 800 and something million people struggling with hunger. Each day is a challenge to put one foot in front of the other, with the end never seeming to come any closer. Food is as much of a gem as water in a desert. Sustainable Development Goal 2 is the zero hunger, is the goal to end hunger, promote sustainable agriculture, and achieve food security, all by 2030. We know what hunger is, and agriculture is somewhat self-explanatory, given you know Latin. But food security? Zero hunger is not just about ensuring global access to food. It's about ensuring global access to safe and nutritious food. There's a lengthy official definition of food security from the Food and Agriculture Organization. But essentially, it says that people have to have access to food that is A, affordable, and B, nutritious. Under this definition, food security is all too often taken as a given. If the food you're buying is too unhealthy, buy healthy food. If it's too expensive, buy it from somewhere else. It's not difficult. Unfortunately, it often is difficult. For people living in food deserts, where they have limited access to nutritious food, eating healthy means driving miles out of their way to find an affordable supermarket, or spending much more time and money than is practical. Healthy homemade meals aren't always an option. And sometimes food just isn't a priority for people. A good diet often doesn't rank high, among other things, like incomes, relationships, and education. As a result of all these things, millions of people are forced to depend on unhealthy fast food to survive. So what's the big deal, you ask? Fast food is fine as a one-off treat, but when you're relying on it daily, it can turn into a problem. Spiked blood sugar, excessive binge eating, and greater heart disease risks have all been shown to be a consequence of eating fast food. Because of their higher salt, fat, and sugar levels, regular consumption can lead to these long-term health issues. These statistics aren't just words on a page. They're a real problem for people in food deserts across the globe, which brings us to what we can do to help. The obvious one is to support local businesses. Lending a hand to community projects, such as urban gardens and farmers markets, are great ways to make healthy food more accessible to those who need it most. Government policies relating to subsidies, land use, and transportation infrastructure can also be implemented to make healthy food more accessible for people living in food deserts. If you're not the government, however, or you don't live near a market, your way of helping can be as simple as educating people on what food security is. Basically, what I'm doing. So now, I want you to imagine yourself back in that desert. But instead of the dry, sandy plain you probably pictured, visualize yourself surrounded by ice, snow, and the cold. The world's largest desert, Antarctica. The roaring sea far to your left, and a snowstorm rolling in from the north. Drinkable liquid is scarce. In the words of Samuel Coleridge, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. Surrounded by food, there is not a meal in sight. This is the reality for people in food deserts. Thank you.
1959 to 1961, the date of the Great Chinese Famine. 20 to 50 million people died. 1845 to 1852, the Great Irish Famine, the failure of the potato crop. Ireland lost a whole quarter of its population in only 7 years. In 7 years, New Zealand's population increased by 298,479. 1932 to 1933, the Holodomor. 3.9 million people died in only 1 year. Their deaths were tragedies. Food is a human right. Right now, globally, roughly 27 million metric tons of food is produced per day. That equates to about 4 billion metric tons per year. 1 ton is 1,000 kilograms. This means that 4 trillion kilograms of food are produced. The average human consumes about 1.5 kilograms of food per day, multiplied by days in a year, 365, multiplied by population, 8.4 billion. 4,599,000,000,000 kilograms of food needed. We are 599 billion kilograms short of feeding the population. I mean, most of us have never scavenged in rubbish bins for something to eat, right? Do any of us have to work late into the night just to put food on the table? New Zealand is facing a quiet food crisis right under our noses. Around 1/3 of our New Zealand population are confronting mild to moderate food insecurity. An outsider looking in might not see a difference, but food insecurity can manifest in many ways. Cheaper, less nutritious meals on the table, a little bit less every dinner time, adults skipping meals so their kids can eat. Even with all this, food is a controversy. Voices are coming at us from all angles, scolding us for eating too much, not eating well, telling us that in order to matter, you need to look the part. So even people who have enough are facing insecurities and pressure. Remember that statistic from earlier? Well, 1,050,000,000,000 kilograms of food is wasted per year, when we were already 599 billion kilograms short. Is there anything we can do? I mean, what difference can one person, two people, or even a whole room full of people make? Well, as it turns out, quite a lot. July 2nd, 1865, William and Catherine Booth founded the Salvation Army, which now supports 150,000 people in New Zealand alone. 1982, Ferdinand Food creates food for the poor. 2011, Fear Food NZ, an Auckland-based charity that supports family all over New Zealand, providing a week's worth of fresh, healthy groceries, helping 58,000 people all over New Zealand. People can make a difference. Plant that seed and grow that future. A couple of dollars might not seem like a lot, but it can mean the world to someone who needs it. Thank you for listening.
As we at St Andrews embarked on the annual tradition of school speeches, very fun, I know, this year I chose a simple topic, serving others. I discussed the very real issue around food wastage and how we can help reduce hunger and support those in need, both in our own communities and beyond. Food may be a replenishable resource, but that doesn't mean wasting it isn't a real issue for ourselves, for society, and for the millions of people globally who go without food daily. We all waste food, food that could help make zero hunger attainable. And we have talked so much about it today. But what actually is it? Well, whether in food deserts or in regions with access to every type of food a human could desire, people are wasting food. Right now, in many households, someone's saying, "Oh, I don't want that," or "Let's order takeout instead." What is food waste? It is this: someone deciding to waste perfectly good food that is still consumable, food that could feed themselves or the homeless or the disadvantaged and the starving, while reducing malnutrition across the world. Instead, it ends up in the landfill. New Zealand alone has over 1.2 million tonnes of food waste per year, and on average, each household wastes over $1,500 on food waste every single year. Imagine how many mouths could be fed with that surplus of food. We could feed our entire population and over a million more people for a whole day with all of our food waste. Think about that. When we look at the worldwide issue, we see that over 1 billion meals are wasted per day. enough to keep 330 million more people fed, including the 20% of New Zealand school children who go without at least one meal a day. Many of them could have been you. Food waste is a very real issue if we want to resolve hunger, to keep people fed and nourished, not to mention healthy, happy, and with a balanced diet, able not just to survive, but to grow and to survive, and to thrive. The impacts on our people's health from the results of this malnutrition are also a major burden on societies, on health systems, and on ourselves. The impact of the food waste on 2.3 billion people who are food insecure worldwide could be immense if we can reduce our food wastage. By simply not wasting food, we together could help reduce world hunger by a significant degree. So, how not to waste food? Seems like a simple question, I know, but surprisingly, a lot of people can get it wrong. Leftovers, if stored properly, can be safely consumed for another meal the following few days, or even as a small snack. Any food that you won't be able to use can be safely frozen for over 3 months at home. Who knows, you might forget about it and pull it out for freezer surprise. By doing this, you're avoiding wastage, you're benefiting yourself, and you are ultimately reducing food wastage as a worldwide issue as part of our food crisis. Besides, you can always remember that if you have ingredients you may be unable to use, or have meals you can't eat in time, or have just bought too much, don't just leave them in your cupboards or throw them away. Remember, they can always go to a soup kitchen or a community donation so that your food doesn't go to waste, but goes towards helping achieve zero hunger today.
Tonight, the world will produce enough food to feed everyone. And still, let millions go hungry. Not because we don't have enough. Not because our land can't give. But because somewhere along the way, we chose who gets to eat. The problem isn't that we can't feed the world. It's that we choose not to. Tell me, when did food stop becoming a right and become just another product, a treasure that not all of us can find? In Aotearoa, from an early age, we are taught the concept of manaakitanga. It means care, it means hospitality. It means when someone arrives, you don't ask if there's enough, you make enough. We have kaitiakitanga, guardianship of the land, because this land was never meant to be owned, only protected, only respected, only passed down, like a promise. In Punjabi culture, we have Sanja Jula, the shared hearth. Like manaakitanga, it teaches us that food is not just nourishment, it is care, community, and the belief that no one should ever be left behind. Why are we, who have everything, still so greedy? Why do we get to dictate who goes to bed with a full stomach and who doesn't? Who wakes up the next morning hungry and who never has to think about it? Seeding change isn't just about planting crops. A feast for the future isn't just about what's on the table. It's about who's missing from it. So don't tell me this is about scarcity. Don't tell me there isn't enough. Don't tell me the system is working. Approximately 9 million people die from hunger-related causes each year.
That's 9 million too many. This equates to roughly 24,000 to 25,000 people dying daily, with one person dying of hunger every 4 seconds. By the time I finish this sentence, one more person will be gone, all because of hunger. Roughly one third of these deaths are children. Children under the age of 5. Children who never got to experience life. Children whose last breaths were taken in exhaustion. This is not about lack. This is about systems. This is about priorities. This is about who we decide is worth feeding. So maybe the future doesn't depend on how much food we grow, but on whether we finally learn to share it. Because a world where children die hungry while food is left to rot is not a world suffering from scarcity. It is a world suffering from selfishness. And if we truly want to see change, then maybe it starts here, by deciding that no human life should ever be valued less than profit. Thank you.
Imagine this. Tonight, while we sit down to eat, over 700 million people around the world will go to bed hungry. Not because there isn't enough food, but because the system that feeds us is broken. Hunger today is caused by 3 major problems: waste, fragile farming, and unequal access. So, how do we reach zero hunger? Food waste is a critical and ongoing problem that has been brought into the spotlight as a key issue for zero hunger. This is not only one of the most significant challenges countries have to face, but it also has substantial negative impacts environmentally, socially, and economically. Food waste makes up 24% of landfills and 22% of combusted municipal solid waste, which weakens the economic efficiency as well as the environment. According to this, we as a society is wasting perfectly good food while millions of others are fighting for it. This leads to fragile farming practices, as supplying food is becoming evidently harder due to growing amounts of greenhouse gas emissions during processing and production. Not only that, but fragile farming also leads to many complicated problems, especially in regions that are being affected by conflict, environmental stresses, and natural disasters. Food insecurity is a multifaceted issue that is made up of hundreds of weak points. So simply solving one problem wouldn't lead us to zero hunger. As the population grows, food inequality becomes even more apparent, digging our society into a deeper pit of hopeless people who are facing food inequality. This is a global issue that remains a significant challenge despite agricultural productivity and economic growth. So, the real question is, what brings us closer to zero hunger? In this system, people facing hunger don't need to earn anything. Credits are generated by those who already have access or resources. Governments, companies, and individuals can buy credits to support food access. Those credits are then directed to communities in need through schools, food banks, and local programs where they are exchanged for real, locally sourced food. And importantly, this isn't based on pure goodwill. Everyone has something to gain. Businesses reduce waste costs, farmers gain stability, and governments fund food access more efficiently. So participation isn't just ethical, it's beneficial. The problem isn't a lack of food. It's a system where value is lost. So, zero hunger by 2030 isn't just a goal. It is within reach. Because if we are truly seeding change, a feast for the future, then food should never be wasted while people are still waiting.
In 2026, the world stands divided. Some feast while millions are forgotten. The chasm between overflowing tables and empty hands swallows hope whole. This is not a distant emergency. It is here. It is now. Let's be honest for a second. When we think about food insecurity, what actually comes to mind? Is it that moment after school when you walk into the kitchen, open a full pantry, and complain to your parents that there's literally nothing to eat? We've all done it. But the crisis facing our global village goes far deeper than a temporary craving. It is a crisis of cost, and it is a crisis of health. Right now, inflation has turned basic nutrition into a luxury. A shocking 2.6 billion people can no longer afford a healthy diet. Because fresh, whole foods are financially out of reach, families rely on cheap, heavily processed, calorie-dense food just to survive. This financial reality drives the brutal paradox of modern malnutrition. You can both be overweight and severely malnourished. On one side of the coin, 148 million children under 5 suffer from stunting and wasting. On the other side is a global spike in obesity. This is a violent disruption of manaakitanga, the foundational value of raising others up and anchoring them in dignity. How can we claim to uplift human dignity when nearly 45% of all deaths in children under 5 are linked directly to this silent crisis? And while families suffer, one third of all food produced globally is thrown away. When harvests rot while millions starve, we are failing as kaitiaki, guardians of our resources and defenders of the vulnerable. There is an ancient truth that challenges this exact dynamic. To whom much is given, much will be required. This isn't just a passive piece of advice. It is a profound law of human responsibility. It means that privilege is not a pass for indifference. Having access to abundance, education, and resources means we carry a moral debt to the world. If we are blessed with a full table, it is not so we can build a higher fence. It is so we can build a longer table. Our responsibility expands to match our capacity. To fix this, we must address the root design flaws through whenuatanga, the deep understanding that we are all interconnected and that the suffering of one community diminishes us all. We have a deadline. The United Nations Sustainable Development Goal 2 aims for zero hunger by 2030. That is less than 4 years away. To get there, our solutions must match the scale of the challenge. Subsidize nutrition. Shift financial supports towards local fruits, vegetables, and sustainable proteins so the healthy choice is the cheapest choice. Implement social protection. Establish robust food secure safety nets and school meal initiatives to shield vulnerable families from market inflation. Enforce regenerative agriculture. Back smallholder farmers with climate-resilient technology to minimize pre-harvest waste. There is a profound whakatauke that perfectly echoes this standard of accountability. Nō te roro naku te roro kia ora ai te iwi. With your food basket and my food basket, the people will thrive. Let this be our moral command for 2026. Global hunger will never be solved by isolation or greed. It will be solved when we realize that my abundance is meant to cover your scarcity. It tells us that because we have the power and the resources to act, we are required to do so. No one should hold on to a mountain of waste while their neighbor holds an empty basket. The responsibility is collective. It starts in our communities, in our hallways, and in our homes. Let these statistics be a call, not to despair, but to action. For every number a life, every life a possibility. In 2026, let us decide that hunger will not define our generation. Let us stand up as true guardians of our future and speak for the planet and for the people who give it its heart. Thank you.
You are Demeter, the great goddess of agriculture, harvest, and fertility. Imagine how broken you'd be when your daughter, Persephone, is taken away from you. She has been abducted by Hades, the ruler of the underworld. At your age, the crops begin to wither. Drought covers the harvest fields, and the mortals who once worshipped you starve. In this story, Persephone represents vegetation and grain, the sustenance of life. Hades is winter. In ancient Greece, farmers used this story to explain seasons and excuse famine. Millennia have gone by since then. Yet it appears as though Demeter's wrath hasn't been satisfied. Millions of people worldwide continue to starve. Just like how Persephone was separated from her mother, people have also lost their rights to live in a world without hunger. The Neolithic Revolution marked the transition of human culture from a nomadic hunting and lifestyle to settlement. Scarcity of resources started many wars. Naturally, these conflicts were remembered by the victors. What about the losers? To fall the land and tree bark and animal corpses, as well as resorting to cannibalism in some extreme cases. Look around you. What do you see? Weaponized hunger. The war of attrition is a prime example of this. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the term as a war that only ends when one of two sides is neither the soldiers nor the resources to continue fighting. In relation to food security, it is a war that is won when your enemy's rations run out before yours. Such a method of combat is actively adapted in Gaza and Ukraine. The solution is rather simple. Stop fighting. Some say we are the lucky ones. I beg you, don't be blinded by these words. Hunger is not always about calories. In fact, 2 to 3 billion people suffer from a form of hidden hunger, the lack of essential vitamins and minerals. This type of hunger is equally pernicious as it weakens the immune system and perpetuates poverty. Last year, 1 in 3 households in New Zealand experienced some form of food insecurity. This is a reminder. The grip of hunger is always near us. Well, here's the irony. There's enough food in the world for an entire population. Yet nearly 800 million people are chronically undernourished. The reason is attributed to corrupt governments, societies that refuse to yield their appetite for the sake of the poor, and commodification of food, all of which we have the power to change. Perhaps I'm not the best person to be giving this speech. After all, I've been raised feasting on my mother's cuisines. A new day meant delicious breakfast, a new menu for lunch, and a fine dinner. I've been taking vitamin pills for as long as I can remember. Maybe you are right. I would have a hard time envisioning a life without sufficient meals. And I know that I'm not the only one. But what I can understand is that approximately 35 children were born into hunger every minute in 2024. I also know for a fact that when we encounter an advertisement encouraging our support for these children, we often click skip without second guessing. The end of Persephone's story goes as follows. When Demeter finds her daughter in Hades, she realizes that Persephone is bound to hell because she has eaten the food of the dead, the pomegranate seed. At the end, Persephone gets to spend the first half a year in the living world, and the rest with Hades. Thus, the seasons. This is a reminder. Food has the power to divide life and death. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Speaking for the Planet in Community Talks. Be sure to stay tuned with Plains Media, where we will be featuring speeches from our talented students. To get instant updates on our latest programs and community stories, follow Plains Media on Instagram and Facebook at Plains Media. You can also tune in to Plains Media Broadcasting on 96.9 FM. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time on Community Talks.